Welcome to the Kerwin Baptist Church broadcast today. Our desire is for the Word of God to be spread throughout the world so that all may know Christ. Join us now for a portion of one of our services at the Kerwin Baptist Church located in Kernersville, North Carolina.
Look, if you would, at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and look at verse 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Lord, we love you, and we ask that you'd help us as we begin to try to just cover and explain so that our folks have a working knowledge and understanding of this subject in your word. Lord, this motivated me, and I really want it to motivate our people. And Lord, I believe that you don't owe us one thing. You've been so good to us. You don't owe us a reward. You don't even owe us a promise. But you have given those things because you love us. And you're just a generous God. So Lord, as we dig into this subject, you must have felt it to be very important as you have given scripture regarding it. So Lord, we want our folks to understand clearly this morning. Help me, Lord, as I explain. And again, I pray that your word would motivate us to live in a different way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you're keeping notes, it helps me to kind of understand the entire subject. Number one, I want you to notice the conduct that will be reviewed. This verse, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and this verse will be up there on the screen, I believe. Verse 10 that we just read. Notice this, that we will all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. That is a given. And obviously we know the great white throne judgment is for those that have not been saved. The judgment seat of Christ, obviously, is for those that have been saved by the grace of God. And this is what will happen, that we will receive the things done in our body. In other words, that we will give an account, notice that second phrase, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Now notice, if you would, this verse will be up on the screen, Romans chapter 14, verse 11 and 12. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. It's going to happen, folks. And we need to be understanding of that. Now, there's a lot of confusion, and I would say there's probably even some things that I'm a little bit confused about. Preacher, what does it mean we're going to give account? Are we going to feel guilty? Are we going to have to receive something bad? I mean, we get to heaven, we've been forgiven. The Bible says we've been forgiven of all of our sins, so why would we go to heaven and we have to dread that and different things? You've got to understand, you are saved. If you've been saved by the grace of God, you are saved. You are justified. As we had in our Sunday school class this morning, Brother Scott did a wonderful job describing the term justification. We are justified. God's righteousness, will literally Jesus' righteousness through his blood, has been applied to our lives. That is a gift. Given if you are saved. But you have to understand, when we get heaven, we will be giving an account of the things we did on earth. And it means this, that we will receive rewards for those things that we have done for the Lord, and we will not receive rewards for the things that we haven't done for God. Now let me explain, if I can, in our next point. If you will, I want you to notice, if you want to turn to this verse will be on this. Number two is this, the crowns we can receive. Now there will be conduct that will be reviewed in heaven. We will give an account. Now I want you to notice the crowns that we can receive here on earth. First, there is the crown of righteousness. The crown of righteousness. Now, I found this quote. I thought this was interesting. Charles Spurgeon said this, there are no crown wearers in heaven who were not cross bearers here below. I thought that was interesting. Notice this verse, if you would, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8. Paul says, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also, notice this, that love his appearing. So the first crown that we realize that you and I can earn is the crown of righteousness. Now, as we go through these five particular crowns, this is what you would call the easiest crown to attain. And it's because it is a crown of righteousness, it is a crown given to all those that finish their race and love the appearing of the Lord. You say, preacher, who is that talking about? It's talking about the saved individuals. By the way, if you're saved, you should love the appearing of the Lord. You should be excited about it. There's nothing to dread about it. We're excited. We can't wait for God to come back and get His children. Now, why is this the easiest crown to receive, preacher? Because if you're saved and you go to heaven, and you will go to heaven if you're saved, we will receive a crown of righteousness. Amen. Now, something interesting I find that Paul says, I have finished my course. I found something else that he says, I have kept the faith. Now, what does that mean? You say, preacher, there's something I've got to do. I've got to keep the faith. What does that mean? It means this, that you are a believer. It means that I have faith in God and I have put my faith in the work of Christ Jesus. Now, this is what I found most exciting about this crown. This is the crown of righteousness. Last time I checked, the Bible says that none are righteous, no, not. So, preacher, how can I have a crown of righteousness and I am not righteous? Preacher, what does this mean? Listen to me. This is what's great. The reason you and I get a crown of righteousness when we get to heaven is not because we've earned it. It's because He purchased it. You know why you and I get a crown of righteousness? Because it's not our righteousness. It's the righteousness of Jesus Christ, our Savior. And when we are in Christ, we, when we get to heaven, receive a crown of righteousness. What does that mean? It means God the Father looks at those that bear that crown as righteous. Amen. You and I are not righteous, but we are in the eyes of God. Amen. Why? Because of the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Dear friend, this is a crown that you and I will receive if you have been saved by the grace of God. Now, what is interesting is that those wearing this crown will be viewed as righteous in the eyes of God. Take that in for a second. Number two. The second crown that we can receive is what the Bible calls an incorruptible crown. There's the crown of righteousness, and then there is the incorruptible crown. If you want to keep notes, write these things down. This verse will be up on the board. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24. The Bible says this, "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain." Now, if you for some reason you thought, well, maybe crowns aren't important to God, why would He put these verses in God's Word? Why would He say to strive for them? Why would He say to run for them? This is important to us. Notice, if you would, verse 25. "And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate." That's the key word in this verse. "Temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible." Now these verses are not up there, but let me read the next two verses to you. "I therefore," Paul says, "so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." This incorruptible crown that the Bible talks about is something that you and I earn through self-discipline or self-control. That word temperate means self-control or self-discipline. Paul says, I keep under my body, I exercise self-control and self-discipline so that I one day may earn an incorruptible crown. Now, this is not one that every child of God receives. This is one you have to earn the hard way. You have to remember those, what was it, E.F. Hutton? Was it E.F. Hutton or was it, who was it that says, earn it? What was that commercial years ago? Nobody gives a flip. Okay, well, we'll go on to something else. This is one you have to work for. And this is not an easy crown to obtain. This is through self-control. Let me read this verse to you. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3. "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Listen. And if a man also strive for masteries, that means effort, self-control, yet is he not crowned except he strive lawfully. That means this crown comes to those that literally keep under their body and they exercise self-restraint, self-control. And dear friends, this is a very difficult one to earn. But may I say, this is an extremely difficult one to earn in 2015. Dear friend, you and I, you've got to understand, it isn't just preachers getting up hollering, screaming, and then we got to, you know, he says all these things I got to do and can't do, and by the way, we don't give a bunch of lists around here, and you know that, but you know, yet you preach this principle, and you say, well, you know what, God's love, why can't we just do whatever we want to do, go wherever we want to go, drink whatever we want to drink, just to do, you know, take place in whatever we want to take part in, and everything's good, because dear friend, you and I should be mindful that we are earning crowns, and we should be working and keeping under our body so that we can earn these crowns from God's word. You say, preacher, what's so important about these crowns? Well, I'm going to share them in a little bit. Yeah. I'm here to tell you, you don't just show up in heaven and get these crowns. There must be self-control, and there must be obviously self-restraint in the way we live as Christians. I don't know about you, but that would be a very wonderful crown to have one day. For you to be able to look in the eyes of God and God to give you that crown because you were temperate in all things. We live in a day and time where nobody exercises self-restraint. Just watch reality TV. In fact, don't watch reality TV. Just take my word for it. You say, why are you watching? That's not what I meant. An incorruptible crown. Number three. The crown of righteousness. The incorruptible crown. Number three. James chapter 1, verse 12, if you want to turn there, these verses will be up there. Number 3 is the crown of life. Notice in James chapter 1, verse 12, blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Second reference, if you'll notice on the screen, Revelation chapter 2, verse 9. I know thy works and tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. Notice again verse 9. I know thy works and tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison. That's already happened, and it will again, by the way. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Are you looking at me? Right. We're not that far away from that. Right. Now, I'm not trying to be overdramatic. You're looking at a preacher that in my lifetime might end up in jail. Sure. For preaching God's word. You're right. Do you understand that? I'm not trying to be, you know, Mr. Whatever and just, you know, get everybody all scared and on edge. I'm telling you right now, you are looking at a preacher that very well probably will end up in jail for preaching the truth of God's word. Sure. Satan's put saved people in jail before, and he'll do it again. Now notice this. Notice verse 10. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Don't fear it. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison that ye may be tried. And ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. How is this crown earned, preacher? By enduring patiently through trials. I know of people that I know received this crown when they got to heaven. We have people that have sat right here in this church that will one day, at the judgment seat of Christ, receive the crown of life. Because they endured the trials of life. Dear friend, I think sometimes we just think, nobody seemed to thank me, and nobody seemed to notice the things that I did, and nobody seemed to ever mention me from the pulpit, and it just seems my own family doesn't even appreciate half the things I do. Dear friend, at the judgment seat of Christ, it will not matter to you what the people at church thought. It will not matter if the preacher ever mentioned you. At the judgment seat of Christ, what will matter is what Jesus knows. You and I will receive a crown of life if we endure these trials. I know you're tempted to just say, man, I'm tired of dealing with this. I'm tired of putting up with this. I'm tired of facing this. It seems like I do this one thing and everything else just, oh, dear friend, look at me. This is an opportunity for you to earn a crown of life. Number four. 1 Peter chapter 5, beginning in verse 1, we see, fourthly, the crown of glory. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 1 says this, "The elders which are among you, I exhort, who am also an elder." Now this word elder, don't get confused, as you know, sometimes in churches have elders and different things. This word elder means anybody that has been in a position of leadership of other Christians or other people. A person that has in a position to teach or to lead in any fashion. All right? "The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed." The glory, notice that, verse 2. "Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly." Not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. Oh, I can't wait to explain every one of these things to you real quickly. "And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away." This crown of glory is given to godly leaders who have been examples to the flock. This doesn't just mean pastors or assistant pastors or youth pastors. It means individuals in church, in a body of believers, that through any way has led or been an example to the other believers in that flock. He said that if you are an example and a faithful example, a godly example to others, that you one day will receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Now notice this. Look if you would. Look at verse 2. "Feed the flock of God which is among you." That means look for any opportunity that you can to be a blessing to others. That you could literally get God's word to others, to teach God's word to others. Be it to little children in a class. Be it to adults in a class. Be it maybe showing up at a ministry, through a bus ministry, through a bus, through a junior church. Whatever the case might be, look for an opportunity to feed the flock. Notice this. "Taking the oversight thereof." That means this. I'm willing to step in and take that responsibility. Oversight does not mean that you get the place of prominence. Oversight means you faithfully show up.
Amen. Yes, sir. Amen.
Are you saying this on a Sunday morning, preacher? We are in a day where folks take on something and they don't show up half the time. He says, listen, you feed the flock and you be willing to take the oversight. You jump in and say, if there's a need, I'm going to fill it. If there's a place I can be used, I'm going to do it. We live in a day we got to beg and plead people to show up. Well, but I can't, I don't want to, it's too much time. I don't want to this, I don't want to that. And then slowly ministries begin to drop, and then those very people criticize the church. Well, they aren't as big as they used to be. Well, they're not doing as much as they used to be. Well, why don't you jump in and help?
Amen.
Like, are you grouchy? No, I'm not grouchy. Notice, I'm not even done. Look at verse 2. You're like, I wish you were done. I know you do. Look at verse 2. "Taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly." It means, folks, that there's a need, I'm going to jump in and fill it. I could stand here all day and tell you needs we have in our ministries. We have big need in our bus ministry right now. We've had to close down another route. And I'm going to tell you something. We need people to help. People go out, pick up boys and girls and visit them. And everybody that's in it, it's a blessing to them. But it's just hard to get people to do it. And I understand. We've got ministry after ministry after ministry after ministry here. But I am saying that God's word says, look at me. Now listen to me. If you're doing it for the preacher, you're going to quit. If you're doing it because somebody else in church might admire you for it, you're going to quit before long. He says here, we're doing this so that we can earn a crown of glory. We are doing this not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre or means, well, if they pay me to do it, I'll do it. Not for that, but of a ready mind. Notice this, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but examples to the flock. That means this, we don't walk in, hey, we're in charge. This is my ministry. This is my this. You listen and do it the way God says when you're in leadership, it's not supposed to be like a lord over people. It's supposed to be like an example to sheep. These are good verses, aren't they? And God says when you willingly jump in and be a leader and take the responsibility and make the sacrifice, you're faithful. The day is going to come at the judgment seat of Christ. All that time, and it seems that, man, I just had all the things I could be doing. Oh, at the judgment seat of Christ, you'll be really glad.
Amen.
That I showed up and did it. But I stayed faithful to it. So many things I'd like to say. I wanted to finish, if I could, the next three verses. It's not there, obviously, on the screen. But listen to this. Verse 5 says, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. Notice this, that he may exalt you in due time. When's that due time? The judgment seat of Christ. You say, preacher, I've been working and faithful and doing, and I don't feel like anybody even notices. Oh, they'll notice then. I want to read this passage to you just to give you a full prospect, if I can. Matthew chapter 5, verse 19. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. Listen. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Apparently, God takes it real serious when average people in a church step into leadership roles and are committed to it and are faithful to it. It's huge to God. God says that they will be exalted in due time. And they'll be great in the kingdom of heaven. Are you learning anything this morning yet? Are you just mad at me? Are you learning? Notice this fifth one. The crown of rejoicing. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, and my time's gone, but listen to this. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 18. Wherefore we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us. Look at verse 19. Now you got to follow this to understand it. For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Paul says, what is the crown of rejoicing? He literally asked the question for us. What is our hope? What is our joy? What is this crown of rejoicing? Notice this. Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For ye are our glory and joy. What is Paul doing here in Thessalonica? He's saying this. You will be present when Jesus comes back. That's my crown of rejoicing. The fact that I have been able to teach you God's word and you have become believers and now you will be in heaven with me. The crown of rejoicing is what is called the soul winner's crown.
Amen. Amen.
Daniel chapter 12, verse 1 and 2 and 3. I wanted to read this to you. And at the time shall Michael stand up, the great prince withstandeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. Remember, notice that. Thy people shall be delivered. We're talking about the tribulation. He says that Michael will stand up, and he says they will. Every person that has been saved will be delivered from that. That's why we believe in the pre-tribulational rapture of the church. We will avoid that. Notice, if you would, verse 2. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. Shine, stars, crown. They that turn many to righteousness. Look at me, dear friend. There is a crown that you can win and earn, but only through reaching people with the gospel of Christ. That is the crown. Isn't it amazing that the crown that's called rejoicing comes from those that win others to Christ? Why? Then the Bible say that when you sow God's seed and you reach people, that and some have compassion making a difference. And the Bible says that you shall doubtless come again rejoicing, bringing your sheaves. Dear friend, there is just a joy that can only be had by bringing others to Christ. There's no other way to get it, no other way to experience it, and no other way to earn that crown. The crown of rejoicing. Doubtless you shall come again, rejoicing, bringing your sheaves or the fruit with you. Could I ask you, have you led anyone to Christ? Have you brought anybody to Christ? Have you been instrumental in anybody finding Christ? There is a crown that you and I can earn for that. We've seen these five crowns. I want you to notice, thirdly this morning, the crowns we can relinquish. Now, my time's gone, but listen, I've got to make this clear before we move on, and I'll let you go this morning. Revelation chapter 3, these verses will be up on the screen. I want you to get this, and please get it. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, and you'll see the other verses here in just a second. I wanted to start at verse 7. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth, and no man shutteth, and shutteth, and no man openeth. Take that. If you doubted God, you shouldn't now. All right? Verse 8. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews, and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I will also keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world. That's obviously the tribulation period. Notice this. To try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold fast which thou hast. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Let me read this to you. According to the grace which is given unto me as a wise master builder, God says, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. For other foundation can no man lay that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, and the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Listen, if any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Did you hear that? God says that, you know what? Every man, your works that you do here on earth, it's all going to come through the refiner's fire of testing.
Thank you for listening today. We hope you received a blessing from the broadcast. Our church is located at 4520 Old Hollow Road in Kernersville, North Carolina. You may also contact us by phone at 336-993-5192 or via the web at kerwinbaptistchurch.com. www.thebaptistchurchbroadcast.com. Our service times are Sunday school at 9:45, morning worship at 10:45 on Sundays, and 6 o'clock p.m. Sunday evening. Also on Wednesdays, we have our midweek prayer service at 7 and the Awana Clubs for our children. Thank you for listening to the Kerwin Broadcast today. God bless you.